All right. I'm so glad to be here with you this morning and excited about being able to be with you in Sunday school. I woke up this morning and looked outside and I saw the, I saw no snow, so I was happy. Amen. And I know this past winter has been a different year. Amen. And I actually heard on the radio not long ago that it was the worst or the heaviest snow, the most snow in the last 100 years. So it's pretty bad winter, I know, but I looked out this morning and saw the sun shining, so I praise the Lord for that. And then, of course, I love being in church. I love being with God's people, and so I appreciate the opportunity of being able to be here this morning and being able to teach the Sunday school class to you adults, and teens will be here in a little bit, I guess, and so I look forward to that also. But what I'd like to do is maybe, I'm not really going to be talking a lot about Ireland this morning, but I'll just say a few words. Of course, when you came in, you saw our display set up right outside there. You go out the middle doors here to the right, our display set up right there. If you haven't stopped by there yet, I know several of you have, and was asking me questions and things about Ireland, please stop by afterwards between Sunday school and church or after church. I'll be by there, and I'll be able to sit there and talk with you or stand there and talk with you about Ireland, about the mission field, about our work there. We've been missionaries for 11 years now to Ireland, and we started our deputation in January of 2003. And just this past January, I mentioned to my wife, I said, can you believe it? We've been missionaries for 11 years now to Ireland, and it just has crept up on us the years, but praise the Lord for that, though. And so on our display back there is a lot of different things you can take a look at. For you ladies, there's a nice scrapbook type thing my wife put together, and just pictures of our ministry over the years, and so that'd be there for you to enjoy as well. Also, we have our prayer card there, and I'd ask you to stop by and pick up one of our prayer cards, and I know several of you have already, and we would appreciate your prayers for us over the week, and even after missions conference. Just keep our prayer card and pray for us. We'd appreciate that very, very much. So what I'd like to do is get right into the lesson this morning. And if we have time afterwards, I'd be happy to talk with you. Maybe you have some question and answers or something about Ireland. If you want to ask some questions, that'd be fine. But I know I'll have that time tomorrow, and maybe we can do that tomorrow. So I'd encourage you, like Pastor mentioned, to make a goal of being here each night of the week. And I know it's a long week, but I believe God will bless you for it. Take your Bibles this morning and open them up to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. The book of Luke, chapter number 10. I'll put this right here. And we're going to read several verses this morning, and then we're going to pray, and we'll get right into the lesson. And I hope this morning that you've come expecting something. Amen. When I come to church, I always ask God, if I'm preaching, if I'm teaching, if I'm listening, whatever it might be, I always ask God, when I leave church, let me leave changed. Let me leave better than when I came in. I don't want to just come in and kind of go through the motions and then leave and have not learned anything or pick something up. And so I hope this morning that you'll come with an expecting spirit and ask the Lord to teach you something this morning to help you throughout your week, throughout the month, throughout your lives. And I believe God will do that for you. We'll start reading in Luke chapter number 10. I'll start reading in verse number 25. Let's start reading right there. And we'll read down about 12 verses or so, and then we'll get right into the lesson this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? This lawyer here is trying to catch up Jesus, of course, and his wording, and that's like a lot of lawyers and things do. And so, but just trying to catch him up here. And then the rest of what we're going to read here is Jesus' answer to this lawyer. And you'll see that that Jesus is trying to teach him something that he's thinking about himself. And so let's start reading there in verse number 30. Jesus is answering. This is what we, of course, we all know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless now as we look into this portion of Scripture, as we look into this small text, may we learn something this morning that will help us in our lives. Help us to be more Christ-like. Help us to be more what you would want us to be. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this morning we'd give you all the praise and honor and glory for everything that's said and done. And Lord, may I not say anything this morning that you wouldn't want me to say. I yield myself, Lord, to you this morning. I ask you to please use my mind, use my tongue, use my spirit. Help me to say just what you'd want me to say. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in the hearts of everybody here today differently even, that you would speak to us in the way that you would have for us this morning, and that we would grasp something this morning, that we would learn something this morning that we can take with us and we can use throughout our Christian life, so that we can honor you, we can glorify you, and we can praise you, Lord, because of who you are and for what you've done for us. And we'll thank you, Lord, for that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, you know, when we come to church, we should be expecting a blessing. We should be expecting God to do something in our hearts and do something in our lives. And I believe this man, this day, when he met Jesus, he didn't expect the answers that he got. He didn't expect to have that conversation that he had with the Lord. And I just want to go over that verse by verse and look at it and see if we can learn some things this morning. First of all, I'd just like to say just kind of introduction about this, that as we read there in these verses, it talked about Jesus, starting in verse number 30, Jesus talking to the lawyer, talking to this man about a parable, gives him a parable about this Good Samaritan. And in Bible days, back in those days, of course, men would have to travel, or even families or groups would travel from city to city and village to village, perhaps, and that's how they would make their living. They would maybe make something in their little hometown, or make something in their village or where they live, and they would take it to a bigger city. Maybe they worked with metal. Maybe they worked with maybe they grew food, like farming, or who knows what they did. Just whatever their talent was, whatever their ware was, they would take those into the bigger city. They'd set up maybe on the side of the road, and they would sell their things. Maybe they'd take them to a merchant, and they would sell them to them, all of them, all together, and be able to make some money, or be able to maybe trade and barter with other people in town, and be able to take those things, that money, or maybe those that food or different things that they needed, and take those things back home, and be able to take care of their family. And I imagine they would do that several times a year, but in those days, doing that type of thing was a very dangerous thing. And I imagine that as a husband would leave, and it would take maybe a cart full of things, or a horseback worth of things, or whatever it might be, take them to the bigger city. I imagine the wife and the children would perhaps wonder even, is my husband going to make it back home safely? Is it going to be all right as he goes into the bigger city and sells things and be able to come back in a few days, maybe a few weeks, and be able to bring home what the family needs? And it was a very dangerous thing. And the Bible talks about that this man, the Bible says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he was leaving Jerusalem to Jericho, and the Bible says he fell among thieves. And And as a person would leave Jerusalem and head down to a smaller place, they would, of course, it would be a dangerous thing. And the robbers and the thieves would know that, hey, these folks most likely have money. This man came into town with a bunch of things, and now he's leaving seemingly empty-handed and knows that he probably has money on him. And so they're going to hide away. They're going to hide behind the rocks or different areas around curves and things. And just look for an opportunity to be able to jump out and rob this man. The Bible says that is what happened here. The Bible says he fell among thieves, and it continues there in verse 30. It says, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. The Bible says there and continues in verse 31, though it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So here's a man who most likely was taken. His money was taken from him. The Bible says his raiment. He was beaten. He was stripped, and the Bible says he was left for dead, left half dead, left there to just die. And whoever robbed him didn't care about his life. Didn't think about him at all. But just wanted what they could get, and then just left him half dead. And I always picture him off on the side of the road, maybe like in a ditch. Or just on the side of the road there, just left to die. And the Bible says that a certain man came by, a priest, the Bible says, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't stop to help him. He didn't stop to see how he was doing, to see if he had a pulse, to see if he was even alive. But the Bible says when he saw him, he just crossed the road and he just continued on down the road. It didn't even lose a step. Didn't even stop in his stride to be able to help this man. But he saw him and he's I'm going to stay away from that. And he moved around and he continued on down the road and went his way and didn't do anything to help him. And I imagine that if this man who was left for dead, I imagine as he's lying there, I imagine he's thinking to himself, "Boy, I'm going to die here. I'm not going to make it. I mean, I've been beaten. Maybe he wasn't even conscious, but if he was, I imagine he could hear somebody walking up on the road, walking in the dirt, walking in the gravel, and in the rocks, and he can hear somebody, and he maybe he thought to himself when this priest came up, maybe he thought to himself, "Boy, this man's going to help me. I'm not going to wind up dying here on the side of the road." But the man continues to go on, never even stops to help him. But the Bible continues on at verse 32. It says, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Now you might think to yourself, "Boy, the Levite, he did the same thing as the priest." But I kind of get an indication by verse 32 where it says that he came and looked on him. I get the indication, and I'm not 100% sure, so don't hold me to it, but I get the indication that maybe he did a little bit more. Maybe he actually walked up to where he was at, and he looked on him, and maybe he said something even like "Boy, that guy looks like he's in bad shape. Boy, he looks like he is in trouble. That guy, he's been robbed, and he's been stripped of his raiment. Boy, he's not going to make it through a night." Because the Bible gives you an indication though, that he came and looked on him. So maybe he came and stopped. But once again, he didn't do anything else to help the man. And he passed by on the other side, just like the priest did. But the Bible continues on there in verse 33. And I thank God that there is a verse 33 of this story right here. The Bible says, "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, the first two men that came, the priest and the Levite, they both saw him as well. The Bible says that they saw him. But verse 33, the difference here is the Bible says that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And you know, that's really what made the difference between these three men, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, was that this man, the last man, had compassion. He had compassion on a man who was hurting. He had compassion on a man who was dying. He had compassion on a man who was in trouble. And he did what he could to help him. And as I look at these three men, I think to myself, you know, if that was me back in that day, and you could picture yourself back in that day as well, if you like to. I always like to kind of put myself in the story and think to myself, what would I have done if it was me? What would I have been like? How would I have responded if it was me? And as I look at this story, I think to myself, Would I have been the priest? Would I have been the one to say, you know, I'm just busy. I'm doing things for God, and I don't have time to stop and be able to help somebody who's in need and just keep on going? Or would I be like the Levite who maybe stopped and maybe said something to him, maybe felt a little something for him, but once again just continued on, just busy with whatever he's doing? Or would I have been the Samaritan? I'd like you to ask yourself that. Which one would you have been? Which one would you have put yourself in that category would you have put yourself in? And really, though, I'd like to say, boy, I think I'd be the Samaritan. I think I'd be the one to stop and help him and be able to do the things that he did and to be able to be the one of compassion. You know, I look at the emphasis that we have for the week of the mission conference for his sake. You know, and if we're going to be trying to do things for Christ, for the Lord, for his sake, we're going to have to be Christians of compassion. We're not going to be able to get through life or get through the Christian life and just say, well, I don't have time for that. Well, I don't have time to help this one over here. I don't have time to help the one on the way over here. I'm busy doing something for God. I'm busy doing something for myself. I've got my own agenda. I've got my own plans. We can't be that kind of a Christian. We're going to have to be Christians of compassion if we're going to do things for his sake. If we're going to do things for him. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, you know what, I'm not going to go to that earth where people are dying. I'm not going to go to where people are in need. I'm so glad that he didn't say, you know, I'm not going to dirty myself or waste my time or go somewhere where they may not be appreciate me. I'm so glad he didn't do that. I'm so glad that he came anyways and left heaven and came to earth and lived a perfect sinless life, never cheated, never lied, never stole, never had a bad thought, and in the end died on a cross and shed his blood for my sin. I'm so glad that he did that. I'm so glad that he didn't say, no, I'm not going to do it. And I look at the Samaritan and I think to myself, what an example he is and what a picture he is of the Lord Jesus Christ willing to go and help and sacrifice and make do whatever it took to be able to help this man who was in need. Because Jesus did everything that it took to be able to make sure that I would have a home in heaven. I'd have a way, I'd have a door, I'd have a possibility of going to heaven but it was only because of what Jesus Christ did. Not because of what we can do. We can do nothing. We have no way at all of getting to heaven on our own, by our own merit, our own strengths, our own talent or anything. It's only because of what Jesus Christ has already done for us 2,000 years ago. And you know, we need to share that with the world. The world needs to hear that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that they can have a home in heaven as well. And we think to ourselves, boy, but Brother Korea, the world's heard. I mean, it's all over, it's spread throughout the world. You know, let me tell you something, folks. There are places around this world who do not know about Jesus Christ. And you might think, you know, here we were in Ireland. We arrived in Ireland in 2005. We started our church in 2006, the Anchor Baptist Church in Waterford, Ireland, and it's doing great. We turned that work over to another man. It's doing really good right now, and God's been blessing it. But I remember out in Waterford, Ireland, knocking on doors and telling people about the church, and we just started, or maybe we're just about to start the church, and we're out giving out leaflets and giving out pamphlets and tracts and letting people know about the church and where we're at. And I remember talking to people, sometimes I take my Bible with me. Sometimes I take my New Testament with me. And I remember talking to people, and they would say, Anchor Baptist Church. I read something about that in the newspaper. We would do a little advertising in the newspaper as well, and it got the word out throughout the whole community. And they'd say, Anchor Baptist Church. They said, I've never heard of a Baptist church. Never heard of it. And I that really surprised me. Never heard of a Baptist church. And they said, a Baptist church, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you use the Bible? Do you believe in the Virgin Mary? Do you believe in, and just going on about things? And I was just shocked how people just didn't know, just had no idea about it. And I began to think to myself, Lord, how many more places like are there like this around the world? How many more places? I mean, I've heard of places, of course, somewhere deep, dark, jungle, somewhere where maybe people groups have never been reached and that kind of thing. I understand that, but I mean, I'm not in a third world country. I'm not in it. I'm not in an area that's cut off from civilization or anything like that. I'm in Ireland. I'm in a country that's part of the Eurozone, and I think there are people here who don't know about Jesus Christ. There are people here who don't know that Jesus is the Son of God. People don't know that, and I was shocked and I was surprised. But folks, we need to get the truth to people. We need to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to people, because that's what's going to make a difference in their lives. That's what, you know, that's what made a difference in my life on February 28, 1990. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'll never forget that day. That's the day when somebody got out of their comfort zone and they said, I'm going to go to where these people are and I'm going to share the gospel with them. And they did, and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And you know, that day that man could have easily said, you know, it's February, it's Michigan, it's cold, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to stay home in my warm house. I'm going to stay home on the sofa and watch the game. I don't want to go out. Every time I go out, people don't accept me, or they close the door in my face or whatever it might be. But he said, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to help those that I can. And that's what this Samaritan did that day. He said, I'm going to help this man. And he did. And we read through verse 34 down through 37, all the things that he did for him. We're going to look at them in just a few minutes. But I want to just talk to you, just share a few points with you this morning about this matter of compassion. This matter of having compassion. And not just going through the motions. Not just going through the steps and just kind of waking up in the morning and doing our normal things and really not really seeing the needs that are out there. But this man, this Samaritan, is a good example to us of a man of compassion. And I want to talk to you this morning about that matter, that one word of compassion. Number one, I want to talk to you about, the first thing I want to say is compassionate sees something. Compassion sees something. You know, in order to have compassion for people, we've got to see it. In order to help anybody, you've got to see the need. And this Samaritan, he saw the need. Now, the other man, they saw as well. They saw with their eyes, but they didn't see the real need that this man had. I mean, they could have said, boy, he needs help, but they didn't do anything to help him. But you know, we got to see the need. We need to see that around this world, there are people dying on their way to hell. Yes. And that's the biggest thing we can do for them, is to be able to share the gospel with them. You know, we can help people with clean water. We can help people with food. We can help people with medicine. We can help people with material things. And I'm all for that. I'm all for helping in material things. I'm all for that. But the greatest need we can do, the greatest need that we can meet, is sharing a gospel with somebody to help them eternally, and not just temporarily. You know, all everything we look around and we see, all those things are going to burn up one day. All those things are going to be gone one day. But you know, what we do for God for eternity is going to last for eternity. It's forever. Amen. Eternal life is for eternity. Amen. And it never runs out. But a compassion, it sees something. So if we're going to be people, if we're going to be Christians of compassion, we've got to open our eyes. We've got to see the need. We got to, when we see people, we need to see an eternal soul. We need to see that this person is going to go to heaven or hell one day, and it could be up. It could be decided about what I do about it right now. It could be they could make their decision right now if I give them a gospel tract, or maybe if I don't give them a gospel tract, that you know they're not going to make a decision. We need to do all we can to help people, but we need to have our eyes open. We need to see. We go through life so many times we have tunnel vision. We just see our own needs. We don't see what's going on to the right. We don't see what's going on to the left. We don't see what's going on behind us. We just see, I got to get this thing done today. I'm like most of you men. I like to get things done. I like to be productive. You know, I wake up on Monday morning and I pull out a 3x5 card out of my pocket and I'll write down several things I need to get done that day. Sometimes I'll write down Sunday night. And on Monday morning, I like to have a good list and like to have it done by the end of the day. You know, and that's wonderful. I feel like I've got something done that day. But you know what? So many times I could be on my list. I could be on my agenda. I could be on my tunnel vision, and I don't see what's going on to the right. And I don't see what's going on to the left. But I say we need to be open to those things. You know, this man here, this Samaritan, the Bible says he was on a journey. He was on a journey. He was going somewhere. He had something to do. He had plans. He had an agenda. But you know, he said, here's a man who needs help. And I need to stop and help him. It reminds me it was just a month ago we were in snow, right? It was probably about 6 weeks ago. I remember I was in my hometown there in Adrian, and I turned a corner in one of the neighborhoods there, and just turned the corner, and the snow was bad, and I saw a car sticking halfway out into the road and stuck there. They were late for work, and so they just tried to plow out of their driveway, just get through the snow, but they got stuck right there at the end. And half their car's in the road and half their car's in the driveway. And the husband's out there trying to push it, and the wife's trying to drive, trying to get out, and they're just stuck in a rut. And I knew the Lord spoke to my heart, said, "Help them. Help them." And so, and I've been there. I know what that's like, getting stuck in the snow. And so I pulled over and I helped them and just tried to dig out some snow. And it took about 20 minutes. And another person stopped to help. And we got it together. We got rocked the car and finally got them out of that rut. And they were able to go their way. But I thought to myself, I bet they're appreciative that somebody stopped to help. I wonder how many people drove by and didn't help. And so many times we get busy. We say, "Well, I got an appointment. I got this to do." Folks, we need to be open to not only what we need to do, but what does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? We need to be people of compassion, and compassion sees something. Number two, quickly, compassion feels something. Compassion feels something. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." His heart went out to this man. His heart went out to this man who was hurting. Maybe this man who helped him, this Samaritan, maybe he was a married man as well. Maybe he was a man who had children. Maybe he was going home to his family, and he thought to himself, "Boy, here's a man who's lying here half dead. He's been beaten. He's been robbed. He's been stripped of his raiment and just left here to die. The buzzards are circling around above him, just waiting for him to die. Maybe if he went through one night in the cold, he wouldn't have made it." And he thought to himself, maybe this man perhaps has a wife at home waiting for him. This man, perhaps maybe he's got children waiting for him, and somebody's got to help him or he's going to die. And his heart went out to this man. And folks, so many times, though, I wonder about myself. I wonder, how's my heart? And I have to do a self-examination on my own heart and say, God, give me a heart for people. God, give me a heart more for souls than I have. God, give me a heart to be able to see people for what they are and be able to help people however you want me to help them. God, give me a heart, and I have to do an examination of my heart. Let me ask you, when's the last time you examined your heart and asked yourself, "Do I have a heart, Lord, for souls?" And ask God, give me a heart for souls. God, give me a heart for people. People all over the world. This week, you're going to see video after video of different missionaries. Tomorrow night, you'll see our video about Ireland. And tonight, you're probably going to see one about Scotland. And then England and the different countries. You'll see those. And I'd ask you, God, I'd ask God to give you a heart for those people. Because those people are in need of the gospel. Boy, Scotland, I tell you what, Scotland, Ireland's a difficult country. They would say it's a difficult mission field. And Scotland is I've been up to Scotland. I've known missionaries in Scotland. Boy, it's a difficult place. And I tell you, the missionary who'll be here tonight, he needs your prayers. He really does. He needs your prayers. But you know, when you see that video, I'd ask you to ask God, give me a heart for those people in Scotland. God, give me a heart for those people in Ireland. God, give me a heart for those people in England. God, give me a heart for the people and on all the different mission fields. You know, whenever I see a missionary presentation, I think to myself, God, boy, I want to go there. You know, I have a burden. I want to see those people saved. I want to see those people come to Christ. And folks, I'd ask you, how is your heart tonight? Or this morning, I'm sorry. It's not tonight yet. I'm making the day go by quickly here for us. But how's your heart? How is your heart? Do you have a heart of compassion? This man, the Samaritan, when he saw this man in trouble, his heart went out to him. And he wanted to help him. So number one, I said compassion sees something. Number two, compassion feels something. And number three, compassion, it does something. Compassion, it does something. If you have a heart of compassion, it's going to compel you to do something. If you have a heart for people or a heart for souls, it's going to compel you to do something. You can't just sit on the sideline. You can't just sit and watch other people do it. If you have a heart for something, you're going to jump in and do it. You've got to have your hands on and be part of what's going on. You can't just wait and watch. You've got to be part of what's going on. Look here in verse number 34. Look at all the action that this man had. Compassion does something. I remember not long ago. Well, actually, it was quite a while ago. I was reminded of this not long ago. I was listening to my pastor years ago, and he was preaching along, and he just stopped one moment and said something just kind of off the cuff, and that stuck with me. Just a few words he said, and then he went on preaching. And I don't even remember what he's preaching now, but I remember what he said. I remember off the cuff he said something. He said, "Love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love's an action word. Love's something where you show it. You don't just say it. You don't just verbalize it. You actually show it. You show some action." And he said, "Love is a verb." And that stuck with me for a long time. And I think about that. You know, compassion is just another word for love. And if you're going to have love for people, love for the world, it's going to compel you to take action. Look at all the action this man, this Samaritan, took here. He says, in verse 34, he says, he went to him and he bound up his wounds, another action word, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And we can continue on through there, but boy, all the action he took. All the action, I want to say to you this morning that, you know, if you're going to be a Christian of compassion, it's going to compel you to get involved. It's going to compel you to say, "I want to do my part. I want to help. I can't go, Brother Korea. I can't go to Ireland. I can't go to Scotland. I can't go to England. I can't go to these different countries. But Brother Korea, I can do what I can to help. I can do what I can to help you get there, help the other missionaries get there. I can help you. I can pray. I can give. I can write a letter. I can write an email of encouragement. And let me tell you something, that goes a long way. Just an email of encouragement is such a blessing and such an encouragement to missionaries on the field. And you know, this day and age, there's really no excuse for not communicating with a missionary. You can easily do it through email, and a missionary appreciates it. I'll tell you, while we were on the mission field there in Ireland, there have been some times it gets discouraging, but just a quick email somebody sends says, "Brother Korea, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, we love you, and we believe in you, and just wanted to let you know that." Boy, that just lifts my spirits. That just helps me so much. And so, we need to be Christians that are doing something, Christians of action. Not only do we have to be Christians that see something or feel something, but we need to do something. We need to do all we can for the Lord. Because, you know, our time is limited. You know, we don't have all the time in the world. We have just a limited time to do what we're going to do for God. And, the day will come where our work for God is going to cease. We're going to stop. You know, maybe that'll be the day we're in the grave. Maybe that'll be the day some time before. But I just tell you, there's going to come a time when our opportunities to serve God will come to an end. And we need to do all we can right now, because we don't have forever. And when we get to heaven, we're with the Lord, and we're with our loved ones and our friends and church members and things like that. While we're there, we'll wish we'd have done more. Yes. We'll wish we'd have gotten more involved and done everything we could to get the gospel further around the world. So I just want to leave you with those three quick thoughts this morning. Are you a Christian that sees? Do you have a compassion that opens your eyes and you see the needs? Number two, do you have a compassion that your heart can feel for the world? And number three, what are we doing about it? Are you a Christian of action? Are you a Christian that says, you know, I've dropped the ball, but I'm going to pick it back up. I'm going to get back on and do as much as I can for the Lord, because our time is short. Our time is short. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,